I want to continue preaching through the book of Luke, and I'm looking forward to, I'll be preaching part of this message. I'll mention it in just a little bit. I'll be preaching it tonight, some of it, but we will have Brother Gary Seaman. He served here for 35 years. He'll be here with us tonight, taking a few minutes, telling us a lesson he learned from Preacher Lashley. And so I asked him just take a short time and say, just give us a lesson that that great man of God taught you. And so he'll be sharing something with us tonight. And so we're looking forward to a good time. And we'll get back into Luke again, actually. So we're looking at Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, verse 1, as you find your place in Luke 11, I did hear this story about this fella. He was with a bunch of friends. They were going to have a costume party. And so for that costume party, he decided to dress up as a devil. He had the red outfit, the horns, the pitchfork, the tail, all of it. Not that that's biblical about the way it looks, but that's what he had. And so it wasn't far from where he was at to where the costume party was going to be. So he's just walking down the road there. And he's all of a sudden, about like happened with us just a little bit ago, the storm came in, just started pouring down the rain. And so he didn't even pay attention. He just darted into a building there. He tried the door. It was open. So he just jumped right inside this building. And he got in there. It was a little old church. They were having revival. And man, when he came through that door, it did not go well. I mean, there were people, even though it was raining, they were jumping out windows. They were going out the back door. They just pretty well cleared out instantaneously. And he said, except for one guy, he had caught his hem or something on the bottom of the pew or something. He was just fighting, trying to get out. And that guy was coming in. So he was drenched already. And he was coming in when that devil outfit just trying to get dried off. He was trying to shake off. But that guy was seeing him. He thought he was attacking him. And so he was there trying to get free. And finally, he looked at him. He said, listen, don't blame me. He said, I've been a member here for 25 years, but I've always been on your side. So hopefully that's not us today. In Luke chapter 11, verse number 1, the Bible says, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We see a wonderful message here that Jesus gives us about prayer. We'll get more into verses 5 down to the end of 13, somewhere there. But we see this wonderful passage that teaches us a lot about prayer. You remember the Lord's Prayer, what most people say, call it maybe the model prayer, but it was given earlier. But here, Jesus gives a part of those same thoughts again. That's why it sounds so familiar, slightly different. But I want you to think about this and notice a couple things by introduction to see what it is that I want you to draw your attention to. And first of all, look at what it says in verse number 1, as he was praying. We'll see in a certain place, we'll get that in just a moment. But as he was praying, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Jesus was engaged and engulfed in this thing of prayer. So much so that the disciples waited till he was done before he went up to them, or before they went up to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray just like that. Not only do we see that he was praying and he was so engaged in it that I think the disciples were a little afraid. I don't want to talk to him right now. I'm going to wait for a good spot because I'm afraid of this. But we also see it says in the middle of those statements that I made that it says in a certain place. He had a habit of going to the same place again and again. We know the Garden of Gethsemane was a famed place that he went to pray. But it was, as the Bible says, as he was wont, meaning as he was accustomed in different places in Scripture. It talks about him going to prayer as it was he was used to do, as he was accustomed to do. It was his normal practice until he had a practice of praying. I think about this. Many of you in this room, you taught your children the idea that they were supposed to pray, and you would teach them a little prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I should die before I wake, and you'd go on. Maybe God is great. God is good, and we thank him for this food. Now, we understand that while we were teaching them some of those little prayers, that wasn't the prayer that we wanted to keep them for the rest of their life. We were trying to get them in the habit of praying at the end of the day and praying before meals and returning thanks to the Lord. We hope that their saying my prayers turned into a true prayer time. And so we noticed the disciples were so moved by the devotion that Jesus had to his prayer that they said, please teach us. So I want to give you Jesus' pattern here. We see in verse number 2 that he says, I say unto the, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Remember who it is we talk to. If I give you a point underneath this point, you need to remember. Sometimes people say, Pastor, I know that we're supposed to pray, but I don't actually know the format. And I could say to that, that the biggest thing that all of us need to do in prayer is pray. Sometimes people say, well, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to do it? The biggest thing, you get on, figuratively or literally, on your knees and start praying, then you'll be just fine. You'll work your way through that. But sometimes people say, well, what should I say? Here's how the Lord teaches these disciples to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, remember who we're talking to. We're going to the Creator, our Father in heaven. Now, I could say this on this to this crowd right now and those that are listening. If Jesus Christ is not your Savior, then the Bible says that God the Father is not your Father. And sometimes people really pull back from that. So I thought he was God the Father of all. He's the Creator of all. But the Bible talks about us being at enmity with the Father because of our sins. We were separated from him. But as we come to Jesus Christ in salvation, then we are adopted. We're placed into the family of God. And then we say with confidence as we pray, Our Father. If you're here today, you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to be born again, the Bible calls it, into the family of God. But we see that we need to remember who we're talking to. And can I remind you that it does say our Father? As much as our society wants us to be inclusive and say all kinds of other aspects, we have to stick with Scripture. Our Father in the masculine, Father, our God. And so remember who we talk to. Not only that, though, remember to pray for his will. Look on in the Scripture. It says, when you pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're getting to that, but we'll come to that, back to that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not only remember we're praying to our God, the Father, but we pray for his will to be done. And so if you're having trouble with, how do I even get started in my prayer time in the morning or the evening or whenever I do it? First of all, remember whose audience we're coming into. This is God. And remember that we pray according to his will. Everything that we pray. And oftentimes people say, I've been praying about this and it hasn't worked out the way I was praying. Remember that the essence of our prayer is supposed to be that we're praying, God, according to your will. I've stood beside the bed of many folks that have been sick and I've prayed oftentimes, Lord, strengthen them and raise them up out of this. And God did not answer it the way I asked. Instead, he gave them ultimate healing and took them on to heaven and where they're perfect forevermore. But understand that when we have a prayer that's answered with a no instead of a yes, which is what we desired, that we still have the answer from the Lord. But our essence of our prayers are supposed to be, God, according to thy will. Prayer is supposed to be in faith, and so that faith in God is that he knows best above all. And so if my prayer from my little vantage point that I currently sit at, if it is not right, then I want God's will done, not mine. And Jesus said, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. I tried to call someone the other day and I got two numbers wrong, 52 instead of 56 or whatever it was. I don't remember now. And you know what I didn't do? I didn't get the person I was calling for. I got Nathan. Not the Nathan that I know, but I got somebody else. It's very important how we reach out. And Jesus told his disciples, pray, thy will be done. And sometimes we pray according to, as what James says, that we pray that we might have things according to our own lusts, our desires, and we're praying in the wrong fashion, and we're praying just for our, well, we dress it up a lot. We say, Lord, I don't want this for me, but we really do. He says, pray according to thy will. But then he tells us also to pray for needs. Give us, verse number 3, give us day by day our daily bread. Or in the other part, when he gave it before, give us this day our daily bread. Pray for our needs. Pray, the word pray means to ask earnestly. Now it's hard, I mentioned it before, hard for you and I to pray, Lord, I pray you'd supply our food this week. Because we have enough food at our house to make it through this week. But we still need to go through the discipline of reminding ourselves that God is the one that provides for us. I don't care who the check is on the top of the check that you get every 2 weeks or every month or whenever it is, or the name on the direct deposit that gets put into your account. In my instance, it's our church takes care of me and my family so wonderfully. But it's not this church that does that. It's not your job that does that. It's not your company. It's not wherever it is. It's God. He may, and He does, utilize different sources. But we pray and say, Lord, please continue to provide for me. We'll go way past Ballot Health, Eastman, whatever your business name is, this church. Go way past that. Say, Lord, we're praying for you to supply our needs. A young man called his dad and asked him. There was a big weekend trip coming up with him and a bunch of his friends. They were doing nothing bad, just doing something. He said, Dad, I need some money. His dad said, no, no go. He later, a week or so after that, said there was some little accident in the chemistry lab and he ruined some of his equipment that he had and he needed that for his class. Said, Dad, I need some extra money for that. The dad was a simple yes. Very easy yes. There's a lot of difference between our needs and our wants. Now, if you're a parent in here, you've heard, especially if you're a parent to a girl, my girls, neither one of them in here, they're teaching in one of the kids' classes. Oh, Dad, we need it. It's amazing what gets classified as a need. But the scripture says that give us this day our daily bread. Pray for our needs. Not only that, he says in verse number 4, forgive us our sins. Stay confessed up. 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just. Forgive us our sins if we confess our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he says that we're supposed to confess our sins and keep us right. I mentioned it before, but isn't it a shame if some need came and so quickly that before I prayed, Lord, please meet this need, that I had to go back and say, Lord, I'm in a backslidden shape and I need to get things right with you before I come to you. We ought to stay with our sins confessed up. If there's something that you've been rotten to your husband or rotten to your wife and you've been kind of a real jerk or a real prickly person to be with, you ought to get it right now and say, Lord, forgive me for that. You've just brought that to my mind. Don't wait till tonight and don't live in that till then. And just say, Lord, forgive me for that. Now, after you get out of church, tell her you're sorry too. That way she knows what you already told God, and that'd be a nice thing for your family. But keep our sins confessed up. But then look on to that, on what he says next. Oh, wouldn't we love to be able to say this? For we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. Ouch. Are we doing that? Now, this passage is written to those disciples right then. He was telling them this is the way. And these were people that believed in him. Now, to a person in this room or listening that's unsaved, you don't have to go right every wrong that you've ever done somewhere. The prayer that Jesus is waiting to hear from you is, Lord, please forgive my sins and save me. I take you as my Savior. But to every believer in here, we ought to say, Lord, I prayed you'd forgive me for that, not to be saved all over again, but to have a revival in that fellowship that you once had. And then he's telling us, though, in this command that we should strive to be those people who are forgiving those people who are indebted to us. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. When I've got people that I'm mad at because something they did or didn't do or should have done and didn't do, whatever it is, I'm mad at them. It makes my prayer life struggle. I'd love to be able to say that. The Lord, I don't have anything against anybody whatsoever. And may each of us live in that fashion. And then he goes on to say in the last, deliver us from evil, lead us not into temptation. We pray that he protects us from trouble. Some people have a problem with this. And, well, how would the Lord lead us into temptation? Well, we understand that he guides us. He doesn't tempt us, neither is he tempted, the Bible says. But he does can protect us and pull us out and deliver us from those evil things. The Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord, not only physical safety, but spiritual and emotional and all the rest. Lord, protect me from those things that would get me wrong. If statistics are true, the average church that people are sitting in across America have upwards of 60% of the men who are trapped and engaged in the wicked sin of pornography. And the men in this room need to be praying. Don't think so cocky and arrogant. They go, oh, I'd never do that. Pray, say, Lord, protect me. Protect me from that wickedness. Deliver me from those things, dear Lord. And so we ought to ask Him, protect us from the evil that's there. And so Jesus' pattern is here. I want to quickly move on to verse number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I want you to see this friend's persistence that's given. Jesus gave His pattern there in verse number 1 through 4. But then we see the friend that has the persistence. And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. I'm verse 6 now. For a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity, that means his diligence, his keeping on coming and keeping on coming, he will rise and give him as many as he needed and needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Seeketh, findeth. Knocketh, it shall be opened. I see this friend's persistence, this hair, and this wonderful story of this late traveler. And we again have such a trouble figuring even that out because there is food in our house. But in that day, it would have been very common for somebody to come. And if it were even a few decades ago, it would have been even more understandable. But now we don't even understand it that, somebody would call on their cell phone, they text us they're coming. But if somebody just showed up, they're supposed to be there at 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, 8, 9. They're not there till midnight. Now they come in and they say, well, we don't even have anything to eat. And they go to that next door neighbor and says, please. That next door neighbor doesn't do it just because you're a neighbor. But they are convinced only through determination, importunity. Through the ordeal with my dad, we went up there for a week before he passed and went to heaven and then went back, of course, afterwards. And I sat in the church that Dad was a member of. And the pastor had given me testimony before, and I've heard Dad give it many times before as well. But that pastor gave the testimony that Dad had told him that he said, well, on this road somewhere, 87 goes from Evans down to Point Pleasant. He said, I've prayed and prayed for many, many years that a Bible-believing church would be somewhere here that would preach the gospel out in that area because that was Dad's home area. And there that church sat for many reasons, but for one, as an answer to prayer that God raised up, and for one reason, because a man was determined, God, please raise up a gospel preaching church. And Dad pastored some churches out through there, but this one is coming up and seeing people saved. Determination. But then on in verse number 9, we see that Jesus compares it to God's desire to answer our prayer. And he turns it and says, and I say unto you, ask, seek. Knock. Just like that friend that went to the door of his neighbor and said, I need something. Ask. Seek. I'm told by people who know a lot more than I do as far as original languages and things that is written in the way that just means a continual asking, to keep on asking. I used to hear Curtis Hudson, he'd preach, and he said that just means to ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. I read of a story of a fella that was a rancher somewhere out in Colorado. Well, he had gotten on the wrong list of a large company in Chicago, and this company was one of the largest, if not the largest, of magazine fulfillments. So, you know, a magazine is written by the editors and all that, but then it's printed and marketed by somebody. Well, this company in Chicago was responsible for sending out all of the subscription notices. It lapsed, you want to re-sign up and all that. Well, this rancher in Colorado got, and I wrote it down, 9,734 separate mailings about his subscription that he never had to begin with, but about his subscription being expired. 9,000, you see those little postcards that come in, your subscription has expired. Still, even in our digital age, many magazines still out there. And so he had had 9,734 postcards that said your subscription is expired to National Geographic. He said, well, enough was enough. He lived way out from there. He said, finally, I just took one of them in. Next time I was going to town, went to the little post office in our little town, and I wrote a note, said, and sent the money. Says, all right, here's your money. Send me your magazine. I give up. Now, getting 9,734 notices about it. It probably wasn't a moneymaker for that company, but he did start getting the magazine. And this friend's persistence shows us how we're supposed to have determination in prayer. And he said, talking about Jacob back in Genesis, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." God, that messenger said, "Let me go." And Jacob said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." When was the last time we had something so heavy on our heart that we said, not in an arrogant way, "Lord, I can't let this go. I need you to work." You know when I find that? Usually when we're in such desperate shape with our marriage and it's falling apart, or our finances are atrocious, or sicknesses come in, whatever it is. And those certainly do drive us to our knees. But I could challenge every one of us today for us to get so determined in our prayer, to be determined to stay, to be determined to labor, and to be determined to continue asking, seeking, and knocking. J. Vernon McGee, a commentator that many of you have read different books, he used to do the Bible bus 5 years ago through the whole Bible on the radio, told a story of praying for a pastorate of a church that he wanted to go to and was very fervent in his prayer. He candidated, and behind closed doors, the powers that be said that he wasn't the person. Later he found out he was not the person because he wasn't political enough. He wasn't going to play the game, so to speak. It was a very influential church. And because he wasn't a church politician, they didn't think he'd be the one for them. And he was greatly devastated. But he was praying according to God's will and said, "Lord, I want your will done." And he said, I quote, "Many times since then, I've thanked him for that no." According to his will. So my friend, it could be that you have waned in your dedication. Or maybe you're praying according to your own lusts, not the sensual lust, but just our desires. Today, you don't have to worry. All you have to do is seek, knock, and ask. Tonight, if God would let me, I'll preach on verse 11, 12, 13. I'll give you the Father's provision, just a great parable there, example of that. But I want to stop here, not only for time. I'd planned on it before. I've got a note right here in my note on my notes to stop. Stop, John. A little stop sign. But I felt like the Lord would have us just take a little inspection. Jesus was so engaged in praying that his disciples had to wait to go ask him. Finally, when he stopped. That doesn't come to me as a picture of being nonchalant. Now, I think that you should be praying while you're going down the road in your car. If you do, please keep your eyes open. I think you should be praying while walking, and seeing how some of us can't walk and do other things at the same time, we should probably keep our eyes open then as well. But I do think that we should have some times when we're really intent on praying. And if somebody walked into the room, they'd say, I better not, they're sitting over there in their chair praying. I don't want to bother them. Not that you're doing it for a show, you never should. But if you do it enough, probably your kids or somebody's going to walk in on you. And you should be engaged enough for that to be noticed. It was with Jesus. His disciples waited. And I see that he was engaged. I see that he was in a certain place. And I see he must have been enviable in the right way. His disciples said, "Lord, teach us to do those things." And so this morning, would you be that person that would say, "Lord, I want to be a prayer as well. I want to be a praying individual. I want to be a praying man or a praying woman." And so we see that he gives our pattern. And then he gives this example, this persistent friend, to give us a little bit of an insight of how exactly we're supposed to pray. So it's like this. If we were a class, here's the academic of how to do it. Remember, you're praying to your Father. Get your sins confessed. Pray for the needs that you have. And pray for protection from evil. And so he gives that academic rundown of it. But then it's as if he leaves the academic for a little while and comes over here to the passion of it. Because you can do it all with academic over there without the passion, and it's not the whole package. And so I don't know whether the first part helped you to say, oh, that is a good structure for prayer. That's what Christ said. Or whether the passion is what slipped. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I'm quick to complain and slow to pray. I should reverse those two. Quick to pray, passionately, and slow to complain. I'm not going to have you raise your hand because I know most everybody, if you didn't raise your hand, it'd just be because maybe you didn't understand, but I'm not going to have you raise your hand. But if I did and I said, how many of you have gotten yourself all riled up in a situation and then after you're upset for a while, then you remember, wait a minute, I didn't even pray. Our world needs us to be those people of prayer. Our instrumentalists are going to come and play a hymn of invitation. As they come, I'm just going to ask you to stand together with me. Just give it a little invitation time, because I believe that there's two things in need in this room, maybe many others, but two things in need. One, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you know him as your personal Savior, I believe you need to rededicate yourself to prayer. Dedicated prayer, fervent praying, that importunity that's talked about needs to be employed in your prayer. Or number two, if you don't know Christ, then you need to come and ask him to be your Savior. One of two needs this morning, if you're not a Christian, all you know about Jesus Christ, here you sit in a church that preaches the gospel. You're here. You know about him, but you don't know him personally. A married person, there was a time when they knew about their spouse. But now I don't say I know about Amy Norris. I know Amy Norris Herdman because she is my wife. And some people know about Christ, but they don't know him as their Savior. And if that's you, my friend, I challenge you to understand that God's orchestrated your life's events to get you to the spot where you're listening today. I believe just to show you your need for Jesus Christ, for the sole Savior that you need. Not a portion of the plan for you to get better, but your Savior. And I challenge you, if you need to be saved, that you'd step out and come. Let us take a Bible and show you how you could call on the name of Christ. It's so simple. Maybe you're listening on the radio. Understanding your sinful condition. Understanding there was a Savior that left heaven's glory and came to this earth. Died and buried and rose again. Trust him. Call upon him. Ask him for forgiveness of your sins. And second is, if you're saved, I believe that every one of us need to have a time of rededication in getting fervent about our prayer again. Whatever your need is, I challenge you to come. You want to make an altar out of your seat right there and pray? Perfect. If you want to come and have somebody pray with you, wonderful. My friend, would you come? Either to be saved or to dedicate ourselves one more time to this needful matter of prayer. As they play through another verse, just another request. If you're here today and you are saved, but you've never been baptized, you'd like to do that. You don't have to do it today. You say, Pastor, I want to come and I want to get baptized. We'll do it very soon when you get some family here and you can let them see. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God's been working on you. You want to come present yourself for membership. You come. They'll play another verse here. If God's speaking to your heart, You mind the Lord, you come. Amen. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, now comes a time when I mentioned before we need everybody involved in Bible school. It's 1 week from tomorrow. So I'd like to enlist everybody in Bible school. And I'd like for everybody, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'd like for everybody to be praying between now and next Monday that God would do a great work in Vacation Bible School. Many, many people saved on the different weeks of Vacation Bible School across this country, and we want this one to be no different. If you can help us physically by being here, there's a meeting after the service tonight right here up here in the front for all of our Bible school workers. And so you just come right after the service, and we'll meet down here very briefly, and we'll have a good time, just a short meeting together after that. So we're getting ready for 1 week from tomorrow. And then this Tuesday, we'll go out 6 o'clock, have pizza, right? And we'll have pizza and then head out and go knock doors. So you come with us if you're able to. Thank you so much for being in church today. My wife and I will be back in the lobby. If there's something we can do to be a blessing to you, you come and stop by. And I'm going to ask Brother James Young, if you don't mind, you and your wife stand out there with us. I'd like for you to get to meet this pastor. Wonderful work out there in Indiana, and grateful for he and his labor there. And excuse me, I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come and dismiss us in prayer. After that, we can be dismissed, and we'll see you in the lobby if there's anything we can do for you.
So much for the day you've given us to be in church together this morning. Lord, we thank you for the challenge. We thank you for the example, Lord, of prayer that you've given to us. I pray that we would be a praying people. And Lord, see what you can do through our lives. We pray you'd bless the afternoon. Bring us back safely together tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.